Welcome to the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast. This show is for leaders in the church and their teams. If you're looking for strategies, ideas, and insights on growing a healthier, sustainable church, then you're in the right place. Every Monday, my guests and I discuss topics such as leadership, discipleship, evangelism, church planting, and so much more. The podcast will provide you with practical takeaways you can use for a healthier church. I'm Minister Madge Obaseki, your host. I'm the CEO of Grow the Church Now, a church consultant, advanced trainer and facilitator, and author. I help churches identify retention and growth solutions. I'm also honored to be the host of this podcast. Thank you for joining me for episode 47 of the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast. It also happens to be the first year's anniversary of this podcast. I am so grateful to God. Now, if you listen to my testimony on episode 40, you'd remember that I shared how I nearly gave up at episode 10. Now, I grow carrots. And I know you're wondering, why would I bring that up? Bear with me. Carrots are really slow to propagate. There are little signs of life above ground for months on end. And sometimes you think, is it ever going to happen? And just when you think it's time to throw that soil away and start again, the signs of life in the form of tiny leaves start to appear above ground. The way the carrot grows, it's burgeoning underground, putting out roots. And once it's gathered enough energy, it can actually put the energy into the shoots above the ground. Now, what I've learned from that analogy is it's about time and process. If you're working on any type of event, a business, ministry, whatever it is, might seem as though it's going the wrong way or no way at all. Oh, it's not working. But if you remember my analogy, I hope that it will help you. Because if I'd remembered it at the time, I wouldn't have gone through that sort of angst. But here we are on episode 47 and a year later. So when I started this podcast, it was with the intention of providing information and insights for aspects of healthy church growth. Now that was April 2020, and it was at a time where the world was turned upside down. And that was, of course, the global pandemic. Now the church was forced to do things differently, like every other sector in industry, in business, in commerce. But you see, the stark difference between entering a church building for fellowship, for worship, is so different from doing it all online. And that's what the church was faced with. And you know, I know that you will agree with me. It's really hard to change habits, isn't it? However, I also know that together with others, I saw some big opportunities for the church to reach out to the unreachable. And after all, isn't that what the church is all about? And it's certainly our why for continuing to press forward, produce this podcast on a weekly basis. And believe me, it's no mean feat. But it's such a pleasure and an honor to serve, because in sharing the tools and the information, insights and practical application, we can all learn and grow. Now, talking about sharing tools, today you're going to get part one of two of an insider's view of what I do for churches as a church consultant. I know many of you know that I'm and are aware that I work with churches, but don't exactly know what I do. So I hope these two episodes will help you on that road to discovery. Now, as the CEO of Grow the Church Now, I work with assemblies in the UK and USA mainly to address retention and growth challenges. I'm going to be sharing a case study, and it's a church that I have and do work with. So today I'm sharing this case study based on a real commission carried out earlier in 2021. Now, the church in question is based in the UK and has a congregation of around 100 people. They've been in existence for 5 years. They were planning a staff and volunteer retreat when the leader approached me to facilitate that event because he'd heard me speak at an event where I spoke about retention challenges in the church. It's something I'm very interested in and have done some academic research around. I asked the leader how open he was to getting to the root of the problem. Now, the reason that I ask this is, what's causing the retention? What's causing the church growth problems? I work with leaders that are on board, authentic enough to say, yes, this is something we need to deal with. Let's keep it real. So I always ask before I begin. Therefore, I don't always work with every single leader. Now, after I'd had a good conversation with that leader, I sent out a questionnaire with quite a few questions in it, details about the vision, the mission, the objectives for the year and overall, and the values, which often I've noticed gets overlooked by some organizations and even in the church. But it's very, very important. Values are people's attitudes and how they treat others, really. So obviously it's important to the church. Now, I included questions as to why they wanted to achieve growth in a relatively short time, because that's what this particular assembly wanted. Once I received that survey and I'd asked all the questions I needed to ask, I sent out a proposal. It offered a full service, which includes the planning and scheduling of the actual event, devising a questionnaire for the attendees to fill in beforehand, planning the actual schedule for the day, an evaluation and follow-up after the event in the form of questionnaire, which was all electronic. Now, the questionnaires before and after the event were anonymous to make sure that people felt comfortable enough to say what they needed to say and wanted to say, because it's not helpful when people are just going through the motions. Now, there were two options of delivering this event. The first option was to have an event that was in person, but given the COVID regulations, the social distancing, that proved to be challenging. And so what the client went for in the end is completely online, which frankly has its own challenges, as you will hear. When I'm asked to facilitate at a staff or volunteer event, I can provide support staff. However, once the budget was confirmed for this particular commission, I suggested that they use their own in-house human resources, i.e. their volunteers and their staff, who could work with me to carry out the initial administration and on-the-day support. Obviously, there was a cost differential, so it made sense. I had 3 meetings with the team, including the senior leadership, to ensure that we were all on the same page and to specifically allocate any responsibilities to deal with technical contingencies and any general issues. The schedule and the PowerPoint that I prepared, which took a few weeks, were sent beforehand, number one, for approval by the senior management, but number two, once it had been approved, to that support team. They shared it on their cloud system and also on WhatsApp so that all the attendees, the delegates, knew beforehand what was going on. Now, I also did something really fun and provided them with a pre-recorded motivation message for every single attendee. Now, here it is. It didn't cost them any extra, but I thought it would help them to get people motivated. So here it is.
Hello, I'm your guest facilitator for this Saturday's retreat at 10:30 a.m. I'm looking forward to us sharing ideas on your personal growth and then looking at how we can grow in these socially distanced times. There'll be breakout groups, polls, plenary sessions, videos, and I'll also be sharing the results of the anonymous survey some of you completed. So get ready with your notebook and a pen and an open heart. See you at 10:30 a.m. Blessings to you all.
Now, on the day, we used the Zoom platform because the church subscribed to Zoom room service, which meant that they could utilize breakout rooms and run polls. You see, the main drawback of using completely online systems for training is screen fatigue, or as it's popularly called, being zoomed out. So in planning the session as a trainer, I put in as many interactive elements as possible, and they included video, polls, breakout sessions, PowerPoint slides which had motion in them, opportunities for attendees to feedback on aspects of the day, and also it was really important to include regular breaks and not start too early. So we started, I believe, at 10:30 in the morning, and it didn't go past 3:30 in the afternoon. And as I said, we had adequate breaks in between. Now, that's it for part one, because that's quite a lot to take in as a case study. But I want you to actually hear what the outcomes were. In part two, I'll be covering it, and you will be actually hearing a recording of some of the online session that I did with this particular church. So please tune in next week when you will hear part two of What a Church Consultant Does on the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Healthy Church Growth Show. If you found this beneficial, do make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. Don't forget, join me and my guests every Monday for another practical episode of the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast.